Hello and welcome to another episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives. My name is Diana Isaacs, and I am joined by my co-host, Natalie Bellini. And in this episode, we really want to recap so many of the amazing things that we saw at ATTD in Florence, Italy. We got to see and do so much, so there's no way we could do it all in one episode. However, we are going to start sharing some things, and then hopefully you'll tune in to even more. So, Natalie, I might send it over to you. What do you want to go ahead and start with?
So let's do technology highlights for this my first one. And I am a huge fan of the T1D Exchange. Our hospital system is at University Hospitals in Cleveland, Ohio, and your hospital system are both part of the T1D Exchange. It's this huge consortium where there are large clinic centers, where there's, educational centers where fellows and residents are trained. There's smaller centers where it's private only, and it's a conglomerate of people with specifically type 1 diabetes. So this is the largest group that we have in the United States to observe. And the T1D Exchange, has been following A1Cs and pump uses and all kinds of different treatment options and kidney disease over the years. And at the ATTD this year, they, or back in 2019, they published a graphic that basically said that the A1Cs were actually going up in the United States. And we all kind of just went, oh no, this is terrible news. This year they looked at it again and looked at now a closer range, 22 and 23. So they compared 2016 and 17 to the years 22 and 23. They looked at more than 87,000 patients. And what they found is actually A1Cs are actually declining. And in my heart and soul, I believe that with this group of people with type 1, some of this is due to what? AID. And we can see that in the data. So that to me gives me hope as a clinician that we have treatment choices and options that are actually improving outcomes. The sad part about this is that there are still massive disparities in technology usage and glycemic outcomes, which is A1C basically, right, by race. So even at some of the top diabetes centers where you think, who's the best in the nation, there is still some real big disparities. Mean A1C for Black teens 2016 to 18 peaked at 10.5%, where it was only 9.5 for Hispanic teens and 9 for non-Hispanic white teens. This is a travesty, and this still needs to be addressed. So that was my big highlight from the T1D Exchange and their data. And we can go into more of it we're expecting more data to come at ADA, and we'll talk a little bit more about T1D Exchange then. Diana,
Well, I'm glad to hear that. That's definitely encouraging about the A1C starting to finally go down after going up. So for me, I do a lot of management in pregnancy. And so I was really looking forward to the readout of Crystal, which is the Medtronic 780G used in pregnancy. And this was a randomized controlled trial with 95 women. And the primary outcome was time in range. And I was very surprised there was actually not a difference between the two groups, between the control group and the group using the 780G. And initially, I was like, what is going on? Because I'll tell you, I'm using that pump. I have patients that are on it that are actually doing very, very, very well. And so I was expecting to see this like blockbuster data of look how great it is compared to the standard of care, which is really challenging in pregnancy. Now, I was so like kind of disturbed by this that like I had to go to the Medtronic booth and like talk to people and find out like what's going on. And fortunately, I was able to have some conversations to help kind of put it in perspective. And so I think some things to keep in mind here are it was already a population that was really well managed. And in fact, a very large proportion of them were on sensor augmented
pump therapy, meaning it may have had the ability to suspend already and had some features like that. So it's not like this control group was all like injections, right? Which we know pumps and especially AID are going to do better than injections. The other thing is that even though there wasn't really a difference between the two groups, it was like 65 versus 63% time in range, 63 to 140. There was actually improvement in overnight time in range. And so I think that's important because we know that's something that's really a struggle. It was actually 75% with the pump versus 67% in the control group. And I would say like that is the area where it's just so hard. Like you try to fine tune those basals and they work one night and then the next night, like they just don't work. And the person's high all night and has to keep manually correcting. And so that was really good to see. But one of the things I was probably most surprised about was the fact that in order to reach the goals, they were encouraged to put in fake carbohydrates, which that by itself is not surprising. We know with the system that it's designed to be pretty easy to use. And so in terms of you can't, you know, randomly change like the correction factor, you can change the carbohydrate ratio. However, there's meal detection technology. So at some point, you keep intensifying that carb ratio and the pump's going to say, no, this is too much insulin.
Right.
You can't use this carb ratio. And so the only way to get more insulin is to put in fake carbs. And so in the study, this was an investigator-initiated study. So the investigator really got to decide the protocol and everything. And so patients were encouraged to put in fake carbs or supplemental carbs, however you want to call it. And they said on average, they were putting in like 70% more carbs than they were actually eating. So that was very, very surprising to me and very interesting. And of course, this is not FDA approved in pregnancy, nor is this algorithm designed for pregnancy. And that was one of the big takeaways from the Medtronic team. But the reality is, in the real world, we are using it because we don't really have much better thing. And so
we do have other AID systems that we use in pregnancy. And I know that you and I both have those other systems. I mean, both put in fake carbs as well, right? So, you know, it's like we have to, because the fasting goal in pregnancy is less than 95, yeah. 1 hour, 140, 2 hours, 120. And in order to do that, you're constantly telling the pump, a little bit more, please. A little bit, like you're like begging it. I need a couple more units here and a couple more units there. So I think that actually improved their data, right? I mean, that's what's, but I was surprised at 70% more.
Yeah, I know that was a lot. Yeah, and you're totally right. I mean, we use all of the AID systems in pregnancy. They have their different strengths and weaknesses. But I just mean, unfortunately, like in the UK, they have CAM-APS. It's actually approved for use in pregnancy.
Right.
We don't have that right now. So we're trying to work with the tools that we have until hopefully we'll have a pump that can have lower targets.